live today, so I just want to welcome all of you, all who may listen in the future. And today our topic is, are we feeding the good guys or the bad guys? And what I'm referring to there is the little microorganisms, one-celled organisms that live within the human intestine. And we used to think they were all bad, which is incredibly naive and incorrect. Then we progressed to think that maybe some of them were good, and then now we've progressed in the field of the basic sciences. This is the exploding frontier, what I call the real medicine, deep medicine, functional medicine, physiology, how the body actually works. And at this level, we're starting to realize there's an enormous world that is happening within each person, and of course this would be true for all animals as well, which I call the inner ecosystem. But the fancier scientific word that we're using currently is called the microbiome, M-I-C-R-O, B like boy, I-O-M-E. And that refers to the ecology, the world, if you will, of the little living beings within us. The individual little guys, people call by the scientific name of microbiota, the different individual species. But I like to just say the microbiome or the ecology within us. And if we think about it, the inside of the intestine really represents the outside world flowing through us. It never should be in direct contact with our bloodstream or any of our tissues. The river flowing through us is actually the outside world in the form of food, in the form of other things on the food, maybe healthy things, maybe healthy kinds of soil bacteria, which we absolutely have to have in our intestine, but also it includes all kinds of foreign to nature toxins in today's world that are put into our air cycle, our water cycle, become the rain, become the soil, become the plants, and then are highly concentrated by any animals that we eat. The highest concentration of toxins will be in animals who had to eat the original foods, which were from the plant kingdom, the base of the food chain, whether it's the algae in the sea or whether it's land plants, and then those become highly, highly concentrated sources of toxins in the fat part. So all of that is going through our intestine or our digestive system, but it had better be outside of our bloodstream, correct? And so that is why it explains, really, if you think about it, why 70%, that's 70% of the human immune system resides in the intestinal lining. And it actually is the thermostat for the immune system. It is the master control of our immune function. So as we have harm occur to that system, the ecosystem within us, which is the protective barrier formed from trillions of healthy, delicate, very sophisticated germs working in an incredibly sophisticated cooperation or synergy or ecosystem, as damage occurs to that, human health suffers. And really what we're seeing now is an epidemic of chronic illness in ever younger ages and epidemic of autoimmune challenges, autoimmune illness at younger and younger ages, inability to fight infections properly, and all the things that result from increased inflammation, and that also includes cancer, because cancer has usually a strong inflammatory component as part of the growth phase. And so all of these things, the good news is, there's a tremendous reversibility in all this if we just know how to start protecting and increasing the numbers of the good germs in our intestine. And just to give you an idea of the magnitude of those good germs, the human body has approximately 10 trillion human cells, heart cells, immune cells of all different kinds, bone cells, muscle, brain, kidney. But in our intestine, in a healthy grown-up who has not been changed by antibiotics, that person has about 100 trillion of the good germs in his or her intestine. And actually, the physical weight of that is several pounds. of the ecosystem made of these delicate living one-celled organisms that actually manufacture anti-cancer substances for us every day. They manufacture many of our most important vitamins. For example, vitamin K, they manufacture about 40 units of vitamin K or micrograms of vitamin K daily, which happens to be about 4 times greater than the amount you get in Garden Blend Juice Plus. That's the intestinal microbes manufacturing very crucial vitamin K for us, and which is one thing that you can't build a healthy bone, for example, if you don't have vitamin K. So they're manufacturing wonderful things. They're also keeping in check the bad microorganisms. So the balance of the ones that are working in our favor for good health, to bring down inflammation, to fight cancer, to let us even absorb the right nutrients, to allow things that shouldn't get into the bloodstream to stay out of the bloodstream, all of these things are dependent on this healthy ecosystem. And the beauty of this is if we start to teach this, and I love the fact that it could be taught from kindergarten through school, is that kids love this idea of learning about the little good guys and the little bad guys that aren't quite as good. The little good guys keep the little bad guys in check. And so one of the simple things is we can teach them that the foods they eat will feed the good guys, and the foods that they need to feed the good guys are plants. So that's the big thing, talking about that today. The plant foods, with all of their phytonutrients, plant nutrients, all of their phytochemicals, special molecules only made by the plant kingdom, and each species making a different spectrum of them, and having special fibers, plant fibers, like fructooligosaccharides and all kinds of wonderful fancy names, or lignans. All of these components are functioning, we now know, as the food foundation for the good germs. And the name that's given to that is prebiotic, P-R-E. We've heard of antibiotics. They kill these little organisms, the good and the bad. We've heard of probiotics, the name given to attempting to put back some of the good species by mouth, such as Lactobacillus acidophilus, which is in the Juice Plus powders. That was put in there a long time ago, the formula by Dr. Smokey Santillo, brilliant naturopathic doctor who came up with the idea of what is in Juice Plus many years ago, using it in the fresh food form, the fresh juiced form. But bottom line, these foods from the plant kingdom are called prebiotic. And it may be, some people who study this all the time speculate, it may be the central mechanism or one of the most important mechanisms for why Juice Plus works so well, that it's functioning as plant food of a very high quality, very pure, high quality nature that is a prebiotic. Prebiotic being the foundational food that the good germs have to have to grow on. And so really we see people today trying desperately to put probiotics, some of the good strains, back into their body, but still not aware that it's not going to work whatsoever if they don't have the prebiotic there, which is the complex plant food that they need to feed themselves so they can feed these good organisms. Now, it's really a very powerful concept, because just to share with you some of the spectrum of things that go wrong that are really quite grave. One is if you look at C. diff, which is just a abbreviated name of one of the germs that is a harmful or opportunistic germ in people that have been hit over and over with antibiotics. It stands for, the real name is, the genus name is Clostridium, and the species name is difficile, meaning difficult. So Clostridium difficile, we call it C. diff for short. It's just an abbreviation. But that is a disease that's claiming a lot of lives now, and it's due to antibiotic overuse in that person. And sometimes people get into this dangerous slippery slope and nobody's trying to do anything wrong, but let's say a person has a very bad accident and they have an open fracture, their bone is sticking through the skin, they have a gunshot wound, whatever, and they've got to have a lot of intravenous antibiotics. And particularly if they're debilitated, if they're in the hospital a long time, on hospital food, what's happening is they're becoming grossly depleted of micronutrients from food, of the fibers of plant foods. They're grossly depleted of whole plant foods. And this spells disaster. So what we want to do is turn that around as fast as possible. What I would do if it was someone in my family or someone I knew is we would get Juice Plus into them as fast as possible if they had a way of either drinking smoothies or if they couldn't eat but they still had digestive function down the feeding tube. And what this is going to do is provide the plant nutrients in their vast array of variety that will support any remaining good bacteria and help any probiotics that we try to pour down there be able to have a better way to grab hold. And I just am passionate about this because if we don't know this, then we'll continue down the path and then people can have an irreversible illness with the takeover of opportunistic harmful germs such as C. diff, which we've been trying to eradicate with more and more and more antibiotics, but it's a failing course. So the good news around all this, and it's kind of a startling thing when you first hear about it, but illustrates the power of this whole spectrum of understanding, is that a few years ago, a thoughtful group decided they had a patient who was dying of C. diff, and they decided, and it's actually quite brilliant, to take a little bit of the stool of her healthy husband, using the husband as the source of healthy, relatively undisturbed stool. It's probably not totally undisturbed because he had been in the hospital to be with her and would have picked up some bad germs and lost some good ones due to antibiotic exposure, but pretty good. It's about as good as you can do in this circumstance. And what they did is they transferred a little bit of that stool from the healthy host, the healthy person, into the rectum of the dying patient. What that's called is a fecal transplant. And when I first heard about this, I'm going, you've got to be kidding. But you start thinking about it, there are perhaps 500 species of these delicate good germs we actually don't know because they're so delicate and so complex and so elegant. They won't grow in the lab. They die immediately. They only grow in the right environment, which is the human intestine. And so we don't know how many they are. We can't culture them, so therefore realize you can never replace by mouth what you lost by antibiotics. But you just try to approximate and maybe take a probiotic with maybe 4 or 6 or 8 or 10 or 11 strains that can be cultured in the lab. It's never going to be what they lost, but you want to just try to get the best back in. And the other source of getting things back in by mouth would be healthy fermented foods, because those have the natural combination of microorganisms from the soil or the air that will start growing in a fermentation situation, like natural sauerkraut, that kind of thing. But bottom line, in this person who was dying, with a little bit of stool from the healthy person who still had a lot of variety of the elegant microorganisms, the patient had an immediate improvement, very dramatic, within the first day, and the first 2 days was coming back to a state of better homeostasis and then recovered. It's called a fecal transplant. And then it was found that people with autoimmune disease did much better this way, whether it was Crohn's or other autoimmune diseases, and a very promising field has opened up. However, currently, the FDA has all of that on hold. It's all suspended, except for the indication of people with Clostridium difficile or C. diff. And for those people, it's absolutely life-saving. And then it's taken a step further, which I actually prefer, which is putting the microorganisms from a healthy donor, from the stool, into a little oral capsule or tablet. And it's been commonly called the poop pill, kind of a funny little name, the poop pill. But when you think about it, how are you going to even try to restore some of that healthy balance without using the whole mixture, especially when you cannot culture them out in the lab? So that's going on. There's also a poop bank in Boston where people who are healthy, hopefully very healthy, are encouraged to donate daily stool, and it's $40 per donation. And they're creating a bank there because, just as with breast milk banks, where are you going to get the material that you may need to transplant into a person who is otherwise not going to make it? Now, let's take it back to a much preventative, much more preventative stage, and that's where my passion is what if we decreased the need for people to ever have antibiotics? Wouldn't that be a smart idea? And that's what we do with Juice Plus. It's been shown in the Children's Health Study, large numbers of adults in those families as well as the children, that people who consistently use this pure concentrated plant food, the orchard blend, the garden blend, and the vineyard blend, the trio of blends, even just using the orchard and garden blend, that they have a markedly decreased need for medications across the board if they're using it consistently over 3 years, even a big decrease you can see in the first year, but that includes antibiotics, needing antibiotics far less frequently. And I get very excited about that because we want to remember that the very first course of antibiotics in a child under 1 year old doubles their lifetime risk of asthma. Some of you have heard me share that before. There's a study from Canada on that. There's a study from the United States. The first course of antibiotics, it's like a week long, under age one, doubles that child's lifetime risk of asthma. Would we not like to turn that around, with asthma being one of the most sharply rising diseases in the world, not just the United States? And I'm just passionate about that. That disease state of asthma was what got me interested in learning beyond the confines of just what we get in medical school. It's a good starting place, but we need to increase the level of nutrition knowledge and physiology, how the body actually works, nutritional medicine. We've got to do that because no nation on earth can withstand the level, economic level of illness that we have today in America. And I think the central thing going on is this a nutritional disaster zone where we are missing the variety of quality plant foods. It's really quite huge because when that happens, inflammation goes up. We have lost the precise regulation of our master thermostat of our immune system, which is the gut ecology, and we call it upregulation. We now have upregulated immune function to be more inflammatory, less precise, and therefore we have the resulting disease states of autoimmunity, a greater risk of cancer, and a greater risk of all the inflammatory diseases, primarily the biggest killer being heart disease, which is an inflammatory disease. So the good news is we can turn it around, and I like to turn it around early rather than late. I think that just makes good economic sense. It causes less suffering, less days missed from work, and a much more joyful life. So that is the role of plant foods in the intestine. And I wanted to take this further to insulin resistance. We now know that insulin resistance, which is diabetes, insulin resistance actually has to do with inflammation of the cell wall in which the insulin receptor is embedded. As the wall becomes inflamed because of systemic inflammation, you have a decrease in the ability of the insulin molecule to work properly in the receptor. And that is called insulin resistance. And there's actually a study with Juice Plus, double-blind placebo-controlled, showing decreased insulin resistance. And this was in little children age 6 to 10 who already, some of them were lean, but many of them were already overweight, and that's what's the epidemic now in our country, which is also thought to be very much about toxins, the storage of toxins in the body trying to protect its most vital places by storing that toxicity, which is fat-soluble, in fat, and also the whole inflammatory process that goes along with excess fat storage, as well as the toxins. So in these little kids, they had either a placebo capsule, one a day orchard, one a day garden look-alike, or the real Juice Plus, one a day capsule of orchard blend, one a day capsule of garden blend. And, of course, very easy to open. The capsules are not sealed, super easy to open. They're designed to be open for anyone who can't easily swallow them. So the parents, with their permission and the children's permission, they use this one a day. We call it one and one, one capsule of Orchard, one of Garden for 6 months. They submitted to, with their own agreement, blood work, looking at insulin levels and blood sugar levels. And they found that after 6 months, there was a very significant difference. The children on placebo continued to gain belly fat, and their insulin resistance continued to be there and getting worse. The children who were getting Real Juice Plus were actually losing belly fat and were losing their insulin resistance. And that is huge. This study was done independently, independently requested, independently paid for by the Nemours Children's Research Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was deemed very important enough to be published in the journal Pediatrics. So this is exciting, showing that as we put these plant materials into the intestine, and we know that they're beautifully bioavailable, they go into the bloodstream exactly where they're needed, they decrease inflammation. That those studies have already been done, multiple studies showing decreased inflammation in human beings, and you have a decrease in insulin resistance. It's really very exciting. And we now know that a lot of insulin resistance and diabetes are coming from the loss of our good germs, our good ecosystem, our microbiome being injured. The primary thing we injure it with, right and left, is antibiotics. We have those in our feed, our factory lot feeds for the cattle, the chickens, milk, dairy cows, and so forth. And there have been experts that have testified before Congress begging to have a law that we are stopping using tons of antibiotics in the United States in our animal feed, but that is still happening today. So we're getting low-grade antibiotic disturbance of our microbiome all the time without thinking about it. And then any processed diet, free carbs or, you know, sugars, processed sugars, increase the growth of pathogenic bacteria. And then meat itself, there is a fascinating study that was published in the journal Nature that in the year 2013, showing that meat consumption may actually be injuring the heart blood vessels, heart disease, atherosclerotic heart disease, not by the mechanisms that we've heard about over and over for years, by cholesterol, that's a whole other topic, but by means of pathogenic bacteria in the gut who actually live off of the protein, a specific amino acid called carnitine. Carnitine from the Latin carne, or meat, meaning that it's only found in the animal kingdom. It's in dairy products, eggs, fish, poultry, any kind of red meat, carnitine, and it is the fuel of specific pathogenic bacteria, which upon ingestion by the human being of carnitine from animal products, the level of a toxic molecule in that person's bloodstream has now been shown to increase dramatically in the first 2 hours, and it's called TMAO, trimethylamine oxide. It is a very harmful molecule, and it directly injures the endothelial lining, which is the lining of the blood vessels. It may be the major pathway, or one of the major, most major pathways of stroke and heart disease by injuring the blood vessel lining, and then sets up an inflammatory response of the body trying to heal that. Well, this study was incredibly elegant. It had multiple parts before they even published it. There were animal parts of the research, animal studies. There were human studies. And the human studies were amazing. They had two populations of people who agreed to participate in eating a steak, a big steak meal. One group were standard American diet, who did that on a routine basis, consumed a lot of animal products. The other group were vegan, who did not consume any animal products in their normal lives. And for the purpose of the study, they agreed to eat this steak and then have their blood measured for TMAO, this highly toxic molecule. Come to find out that only the meat-eating group had a big spike in TMAO, within 2 hours after the meal, but the vegan people had no detectable TMAO. They did not manufacture it in their gut because the bacteria who make it from eating the carnitine are not present in vegans. And they actually even did further studies in this in terms of trying to wipe out all the bacteria with heavy antibiotics in both groups, and they found that after that they could eat the steak at least in the coming day or so without producing TMAO because the bad germs were wiped out at that moment. But of course that's not a good solution because you're going to produce a tremendous amount of chronic illness by doing that. So there was some suggestion that it would lead to research on what kind of antibiotic can we give people so they can eat their steak. That's not going to be the answer. But eating more plant foods is the answer. And I think it's all about the balance. It may not be necessarily so that everybody has to be completely vegan at all times. I suspect that it may be that they must have a lot of plants in their diet, as our ancestors always to balance with some animal products, hopefully organic and free range for a vast reason of nutrition, as well as animal welfare. But it's just if you're looking at human nutrition and health, organic and free range, both of those two different things, both of them together, they both have their reasons why. But the plant base, if we just add the plants, good things happen. And that's what's been shown with Juice Plus over and over. If you just add the wide variety of high quality phytonutrients from the whole foods, with the whole foods being there, including fibers, then you're going to have an improvement in human health. You're going to decrease inflammation, and all the things that we've talked about have been shown with Juice Plus. The cardiovascular markers improve very significantly, and also tissue repair and DNA repair, all of these things as inflammation comes down and free radicals come down. But I think that it's probably so much of it is happening at the level of the intestine and those microorganisms that need to be supported in the way they've always been for how many eons based on plant food in the intestine. So very, very exciting. And just to close out, I want to share with you also about brain function. We've talked about immune function. We've watched people go from life-threatening asthma to much improvement to all the way better. Well, I mean, I've seen that over and over and over again. People with Crohn's disease or systemic lupus or MS, any kind of autoimmune challenges, Juice Plus being a tremendous catalyst for changing their immune function back towards a better homeostasis, a better balance. But we've also, many of us, known people who had different challenges of brain function, whether it was cognitive, whether it was emotional, whether it was anxiety, depression, never touting this nutritional path as a drug, which it is not. It works deeper than that, and it can work alongside with any medication without causing any interference, but supporting the body much better than could be done with the drug alone. But there is a whole field emerging now called psychobiotics. We talked about antibiotics, probiotics, prebiotics being the necessary plant foods, but now we are talking about psychobiotics. And there's a wonderful article, a very scientific article, so it may or may not be needed or wanted by everybody, but I did send that, Missy, if people want it, they can have that if you want to send it out to the NMDs. But the article is on psychobiotics, meaning the psychoactive things that are produced by the ecosystem, the good little guys in our intestine, and negative psychobiotic things coming from noxious organisms. And it's turning out, and it should not be a surprise, but maybe news that's got good news to it, that what people eat determines how they act, feel, and think, and perceive the world. And we now know that that is absolutely true. The worse that people get to eat without plant foods, the worse their behavior. For one thing, the brain is inflamed. When you have systemic inflammation, it does not spare the brain. In fact, the brain is one of the very first places. It has one of the highest